The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and welcome back. Tuesday night already. One of the really unusual blessings about having been allowed to do this program for as long as we all have, and many of you have been here for well over 20 years, is the opportunity to get to know extremely unusual, enigmatic, iconic, gifted, brilliant, unique people on this planet. I refer to many of them and think of them as friends, even though I've never physically met them and probably never will, at least not in this lifetime. But they are friends of this program. They are certainly friends of yours, and they care. And so many of them have unique and extraordinary things to share, and they have shared them on the program. And certainly one of those individuals is a man I have known probably, I think, back and trying to calculate this, I'll bet, and he's not the only one, one-third of his lifetime, close to 25 years. He is Dr. Joseph Chapelon. He lives in Australia and has been on this program many times over the year. Has a most unusual lifetime, and his experiences are extraordinary, especially when we look at the dystopian nightmare of trauma that we call American life now, for most people. The sheeple have been taken down intellectually each generation since World War II, which is probably at least two, if not three, has lost a cumulative IQ total of 7 points. Think about that. 21 points on average lower IQ for the average American citizen than that which existed at the end of World War II. That's really sad. And it's doubly sad because it has been done with intent. It didn't just happen. In fact, the opposite ought to be true. But the dumbing down of our populace with utter intent by the communist Bolsheviks and others has tragically succeeded in most cases. When you look at those stats, you understand. 7 points per generation, dumber and less able to function in an intellectual capacity. They can't do it. It's been taken away from them. It's gone. Will it ever come back? Not under this regime. Not what we're seeing now. Joseph, are you there?
Hello. Yes, Jeff. I'm here.
Welcome back, friend.
Thanks once again.
Always.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much.
Always. And
we must...
Go ahead.
I was going to say we must thank Joyce Murphy. She's listening in. She just said hello. For introducing us. Do you remember about 30 years ago?
I was going to mention her name next. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, there you are. Yeah, you're picking her up too. Yeah, lovely. I did spend some time with her and her husband down in Texas, before she died, of course. And, yeah, it was a wonderful time. It was obviously meant for us to meet and to do this work together for a while.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she moved on and we're still doing what we have to do. Yes.
Yes. Joyce Murphy was a true pioneer, she and her husband. But Joyce would lead, like Harry Cooper takes trips of people to Europe, to South America, to study World War II history. Joyce would take groups of people to study paranormal issues, UFO issues, strange issues. She was a real adventurer. And Joseph got linked up with her, and I met Joseph and had him on the program. And what I'd like to do, Joseph, is go back, if we can, to your early voyages, and especially the trip you made to Mexico, why you took it, what your goals were, what you expected to find out, what you hoped to find out, and what you did find out, which is even more amazing. So tell us about that again, if you would.
Okay. Yes, I will, Jeff. I must admit, it's difficult for people to accept what I'm going to say because, unfortunately, the majority are morons, Jeff. I can't get it away from that. They're limited in their capabilities to think and to accept. They are programmed to reach a certain level and nothing more. That is why you mentioned the IQ and that's falling, because they're no longer being provided with knowledge, real knowledge.
No.
So let's start at the very beginning. I do clearly remember as a child, I was between 2, 3, 4 and up to 5 that I would get visitations from aliens, what I called aliens. They were really my family and my higher self. And we would discuss things that you wouldn't expect a little child to discuss. The thing is, before my mother died, she confirmed that in actual fact that was so. And she was party to this. And although she didn't fully understand what was going on, she witnessed it. And I think that's the reason why she said so before she died 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
As I grew, I had lots and lots of experiences. Now, these are our alter ego or higher mind or higher selves that experience these things. And there are many people in the world like this. In fact, if you get a child before the age of 5 or 6, and as I did as a doctor, and discuss things with them and ask them about astral travel and where they've been and so on and so forth, they can actually tell you precisely about astral travel and out-of-world experiences and so on. Once the hormones take over in young bodies, that is eventually blocked off.
Right.
So these are normal experiences. The second thing I want to do is that to cite Mozart as the child genius in music. If a mother were to teach its infant, even in utero, about things, read the Encyclopedia Britannica, for example, mm-hmm. for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, mm-hmm. by the time that child is 5, it will have enough neural maturity to do a PhD in rocket science at a university. Now, people don't understand this. That's because we treat them as idiots and feed them bullshit. Education dumbs them down. It doesn't liberate them. It
right.
doesn't feed them information.
Mm-hmm.
We just give them more and more stupidity through what we call science, religion, and natural history.
Right.
Which are, as you know, quite false.
They're all put in compartments. They're shunted away from proactive free thinking, yes.
That's right. They're not allowed to recall the greater reality. And they're just another brick in the wall. Do you remember that song of years ago? Just another brick in the wall. And if you're slightly out of kilter, they whack you down to make sure you stay as a clod, a little dead clod.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
Now, up until 13, I had these experiences. And then as I became more and more educated, of course, I entered medicine, and then I got a visitation again when I was 17. It was my first year in medical school, and they said, now this is important for me to say this because of what developed later. They said, don't take medicine too seriously. That's not your prime work. But your work doesn't start for another 20 years or so. So have a good time until then, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what happened is going through a system of what's called allopathic medicine destroys your ability to think. If anything, it makes you a prisoner of grand stupidity. Now, I will say that to any doctor anywhere in the world, because I know since I've retired and I've gone into other fields outside of medicine and healing fields, I know that is so. General medicine now is part of Agenda 21 to keep people ignorant and ill.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, to pay through the nose for everything they get. And as you know, most of the drugs are there not to benefit people, but to drain their resources and to make doctors and the pharmaceutical companies rich.
Right.
But we'll get onto that some other time, perhaps. They are very dangerous. They are very, very, very dangerous. That is not the path to health. Anyway, by the time I got the call in my mid to late 30s to wake up, I had no idea what was going on, because now I was an indoctrinated, rigid, mentally compartmentalized doctor,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't think out of the box.
Mm.
So the stuff I was getting was just too much for me, and I thought it was all impossible. It was all, you know, I actually called it bullshit, and I used to sit down and write,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't accept that what I was writing was reality.
Mm.
So the people I communicated with, which included my higher self, these are, I have to explain these things in a three-day seminar, actually said, okay, well, we'll take you up to the other level, to the craft, where you can meet the situation, meet us, and know that we are real. And, of course, I jumped at that opportunity, and that's how I had the experience of the craft, which I did explain to you in one of the shows, and it was very hard for people to accept. But then they said, right, now we've downloaded as much information as you need, go back and write about it. So that's what I did. Even then, as I sat down and wrote about these things, and I ended up writing about 50 books.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was still conflicting with what I'd learned at university, and I would throw it away and say, oh, this is horrible, this is rubbish, this is impossible. Anyway, with time, it turned out to be true. And one of the things I was told is this is clearly why I was on the planet, that I had to give this information, this message of mm-hmm. termination.
Mm-hmm.
And I can clearly remember that they said the planet is going to be so polluted that people and animals and other things can no longer live on it, and we are going to destroy it no later than 2035. And Joseph, you're going to be here for the last day. So I sort of thought, well, I'll be 91 by then. It's almost impossible for me to be that age. My family, particularly the males, were riddled with heart disease and diabetes. Mm-hmm. And I said, I might make mm-hmm. it to 65, 70, but I'm not going to live it. And they said, you wait and see. Besides, we're going to make it earlier if we can. Before I got to that point, 2 years earlier in 83, I met a professor of psychology at one of the universities in Melbourne who was very interested in parapsychology, and we developed a great friendship, and he was going to a conference in Rome. And he said, why don't you come with me? This is partly spiritual, partly intellectual, partly metaphysical. And then on your way back, I want you to go and visit a special being called Haitakan Babaji in the Himalayas.
Ah, Babaji.
And this rung a real strong bell with me. And I said, yes, and I jumped to it. And when I did see Haitakan Babaji, I was told 2 days before I met him, I was told what it was all about. And I can't say it just yet. It's not time. But anyway, he said, it's your turn now. I'm going. You take over until the end. That was in October 83.
Huh.
In February 83, he died of pneumonia and left the plane. But later he came back in as a walk-in in the 90s, and we spent almost 2 years together in Far North Queensland doing work and preparing for what was to come. Now, since that time, I got all the details I needed and that I've published, in actual fact, that the planet was going to be destroyed. But as it, the more I got involved into this, the more I got the ideas that not only just the planet, but the solar system, the entire galaxy, and then the entire universe was going to be destroyed because it had gone terribly, terribly wrong. It had become what's called the celestial era, and true beings were trapped in it and were being controlled, harnessed, trapped, kept as prisoners by artificial intelligence. Now, we know that that possibility exists because it's developing again now, but it won't have time to go any further than that. So in 1985, in one of the first books I wrote, I just had one simple paragraph. I said the entire universe is being converted to dark matter. I had no idea what dark matter was. I'd never heard of it. I'd never heard of that expression. And already over 80% of it is converted to dark matter and can no longer sustain consciousness. And I let that go. And it wasn't until 2006 that I saw a mention of it in an article, an astrophysical article, that said that they can't find 96% of the universe. In other words, it had been turned into dark matter and dark energy, which are certain materials that can't sustain consciousness. In other words, they're as dead can be. And this is where we are
neutralized,
now.
Yeah.
The entire, now the Andromeda, which is the galaxy next to us, is showing signs of converting to dark matter, and we are starting to get pulses of dark matter that are hitting the Antarctic and resonating back into space. So we are on our way to dark matter, but we probably won't see it because I think we've got less than 20 years to go. In fact, I'm thinking that we have between 6 and 10 years left before humanity disappears and all the animals are, because of many of the processes. One of them is the heating that are coming from what are called plasma waves. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember in the mid-90s, I can remember the show I did with you when George Bush Jr. got in and we were discussing the things that were going to happen in coming 2012, I think it was, about changes in the world. And I said, all I can pick up at the moment is that there's going to be dirty wind affecting us. I didn't know how else to describe
dirty
it.
Dirty wind.
And that was actually dirty wind.
If yeah, let it here.
Show.
Yeah, let me say one thing and we'll jump back here. I've got a story here. Scientists predict a dark matter hurricane will collide with the Earth. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to physically destroy the Earth, but it's because dark matter is pretty well known as a mysterious invisible particle, all right? Here's the first paragraph. Yes, astronomers suggest that it's very, very likely that a dark matter hurricane will slam into the Earth as it speeds through the Milky Way, but it shouldn't cause any damage. In fact, in the hunt for the mysterious particle or particles that make up dark matter, the hurricane may provide our best chance at detection. So these are scientists just poking around the edges of an enormous question that you're mentioning there, Joseph. Go ahead.
That's right. They've got absolutely no idea what's going on, and I can tell you that straight away. If they had any idea, they'd know what I'm talking about, and they could guess it. The fact that you probably saw the article that the Arctic waters have increased by about 53 degrees in a month should give you some idea of the heating effect on the solar system and Earth. If it continues at that rate, they predicted that within 9 years, no living thing would be sustainable on Earth. It'll be just too hot.
Right. Well, here let's get back to your other line of discussion, if you can remember where we were.
The dark matter and the plasma waves.
The plasma wave, that's what it was, yeah.
That's right. Now, they are one of the things that are heating up the entire solar system and destroying our sun. Our sun is not getting hotter, it's getting cooler. And in the 90s, I predicted that we're going to run out of vitamin D because we can't produce it in our bodies because the radiation from the sun had been altered by these waves. And now we find, of course, that farmers that spend four meals are vitamin D deficient because they can't make it.
In other words, the whole process is dying.
That's right. The whole process is decaying. We're in an act of decay. And if we go through the pollution that's affecting the earth, you know, like land pollution, water, air, the noise, light pollution, electromagnetism, Fukushima and so on, you know that they are fatal aspects. We as physical beings cannot live in that environment any further. And it's not very far away.
Before we leave Fukushima behind real quickly here, it is an extinction level event. It may not be a total 100% extinction event, but it's going to be very substantial and severe. And this is happening right now as we speak. It's been happening. It'll be 8 years in this coming March. We're in deep trouble. I had another story the other day that was actually printed 5 years ago, and it said that the Pacific Ocean, and it was very well stated, was essentially dead. Now, we knew this, and it was dead within 2 years of the Fukushima meltdown. The meltdown, three reactors, one of them, of course, at least, is still going into the earth. It's just going away. It's going deeper and deeper and deeper. But the rest of it was blown up so severely that all the water coming down from behind the plant and percolating underneath it into the ocean is going through these pieces of fuel that are they're just death. And they're creating liquid water that goes into the ocean. TEPCO admits 400 metric tons a day is going into the Pacific. Now, that could be off by a factor of 10 because we know TEPCO lies. Something killed the North Pacific, Joseph, within 2 years. That's the point of what I'm saying.
That's right. That's right. Correct. Now, you remember in 2012, Helen Caldicott and her gang of physicists had an inquiry there, and they said that by 2025, nothing can exist on Earth because of the radiation. They then did exactly the same inquiry in 2016 and came with the exact same conclusion. And you know what happened? The government's told her to shut up.
And she has shut up. I haven't seen Helen's name, and I've had her on the program several times. Yes, and she has shut up.
And this is what they do. Now, it doesn't matter what they do. What I published in 85 has occurred, is occurring, and we will be home before the next decade is over.
All right, very good. Hold on there, Joseph. I got to take a break. Hold on, we'll come right back. And I'd like to have you describe what you personally encountered in your Mexico trip, too. That's very important. Stand by. We'll be right back with Dr. Joseph Chapalone in just a couple minutes. Okay, let's get right back to our conversation with Dr. Joseph Chapalone. All right, Joseph, go ahead and let's work in that Mexico trip.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yes, yes. It was early days, and I think it was a video, one of the computer stations, that mentioned these tours into Mexico. And believe it or not, it was Joyce Murphy. So we got one of our acquaintances in America to contact her. She lived in Texas, and sure enough, we arranged a thing, because we ourselves, the group that I was with, also had doubts of everything. It hadn't clicked just yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
You always have doubts. Even today, I have doubts of, am I accurate with the numbers? Am I accurate with the date? And mistakes do occur. For example,
that's why your motto, Joseph has a motto, and it's a wonderful motto, and it's very applicable there. He'll be the first to say it. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. What's your motto, Joseph?
Yeah, take it or leave it.
There you go.
That's the motto. You can take it or give it. If it resonates with you, by all means, take it. If it doesn't, just leave it.
There you go.
Now things happen that trick us. For example, this Planet X made fools of all of us. But none of us knew that the solar system went one way and this Planet X constellation went the other way. So we missed each other. And by the solar system moving into the hot zone, which has occurred, we're heating right up, and now this Planet X constellation is catching up. So it will hit us in a couple of more years. So, but none of us knew that while we're on had our feet on terra firma. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
But our higher selves knew, and we didn't have enough time to make the adjustment. It's just like Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus and all the others. Time-wise, they can be quite out. And we are the same, you know, and we don't know we're quite out. And we make those mistakes. But let me go back to Joyce anyway. We arranged to go and see her because we had doubts about what we are being told. We wanted to see a spacecraft. We wanted to see aliens. We wanted to talk to other people who had contacted them and so on. So before we left, the aliens we were discussing with said, get a piece of paper put down these markings. These are our ship markings on the hull, as it were. So they told us exactly what to draw, and then they said, at some stage or other, you're going to compare these with the markings of witnesses in Mexico. Now, go along and have fun, you know, have a good time sort of thing. Now, one of the people we met was a woman that owned a hotel, and she was in a valley where a lot of UFOs came through.
This is now, in Mexico, yeah.
In Mexico. Now, these UFOs were not normal military craft. Some of them are. Some of the UFOs are military craft. Now, we know that now, like right. The ones in the Phoenix Lights and all that sort of thing. But the genuine ones have got an etheric coating, and they cause ionization of the atmosphere around them. And that precipitates in the area as a thing called angel hair. It's a very fine mist, like a spider's web. But it's very strong, and I don't know if they had that at Roswell. I never saw it written about. But she collected quite an amount and sent it off to NASA and other agencies and never heard back.
This now, hotel owner.
No, that's the hotel owner, yes. And I spoke to her directly, and she had seen this many, many times and gathered quite a lot of it. Now, the difference between a military UFO or a flying object and a real UFO is the non-definition of the edge. An alien UFO, you will not be able to see an edge because it's ionized. It's got an etheric coating.
It looks a little blurry. There you go.
It's blurred. That's correct. Now, whereas the military one, it's a straight, and you can see it's metal and so on and so forth. So the alien ones, of course, precipitate this ionized atmosphere, radiation, whatever it is, that you can gather. And she put it in a jar and closed it off and sent it off to the NASA and other aeronautical places, right. But never heard again. Now, that's one of them. Another one was we went to a little town. We didn't know. We were obviously being directed, and we would discuss with people, have you heard of UFOs and this and that? I remember one time it was a weekend, and we went to a market there, and some of the people said, yes, we've seen them. They've communicated with us, and of course, I was eager to see what they'd said, and I said, well, what exactly did they tell you? And this is exactly what they said, and this is exactly what they told me. The Earth is finished. We have decided who is good and who is not good. This is in the human population. The ones that are no good are going to be eradicated. So I know this sounds like the Christian message, the Catholic message, but they said the ones who are good will go elsewhere. They're going to be placed elsewhere. Now, no heaven or hell, no Jesus, no that. This was exactly what they said. And it was a consistent message, and I'm sure they wouldn't make it up. Now, one of them was a retired police chief, We went to his house and he spoke about it and all that. And in fact, he said, he showed us in the valley. We went to exactly where the UFO was. And he said, this is where it was, this is where I met them, and so on. The stories were ringing so true, they couldn't have made them up.
So all these different people, now hold on. The different people that Joseph met and interviewed, he'd never met them before. They didn't know each other, and there were probably half a dozen of them in different locations. They had all been experiencers. They had had encounters.
Yes.
And I think five out of the six stories were virtually identical overlays or very close to it. Is that right? Something like that?
Correct. Now, you realize Mexico is, Mexico City is about 13,000 feet high, just like Tibet. And it's a lot easier for those crafts to come at a high altitude than down in, sea level. But the thing is, we were directed to specific ones, as it turned out, and they had never before spoken about these things. This is what astonished Joyce. She said, how come I never got these stories? What makes you so different? I said, Joyce, it's not your job. It's my job to get this out. And one of them was in a little village, in a little, call it a little town, was a lawyer. He was the principal man of the town, as it were.
Yeah.
And he had quite a space next to his house with a perfect circle in the grass. It was like a quarter acre of grass, perfect grass. And there he had a perfect circle next to there. And he said, this is where the craft lands whenever it comes here. And it comes at least once a week. And the aliens talk to us. He had a daughter about 18 or 19. And he said, most of the neighbors see it. And that's when I got impressed to say, did you notice any markings on the hull of the craft? And the daughter said, oh, yes, I remember. I wrote them down. I drew them. And so she hunted in her bedroom and came out with a diary. That was a few years beforehand. And it was exactly what we were holding in our hands. It was exactly. So then we knew they were the same aliens. We weren't being, we weren't being deceived by anything.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Same group.
It couldn't have been any better than if they had landed there, which they didn't. I don't know why, but they left a little. Another one was a young man. He was about 14. He's a little sweetheart for Joyce. She loved the little fellow and protected him. And he often met them on the mountainside when he was roaming with his sheep. And they would tell him things, you know. And he told us similar stories. And the last one was an engineer out in the fields. I think he was a geologist. And we said, have you met these aliens? And yes. And have you seen their crafts? Yes. Did they tell you anything in particular? No. And I said, now, be careful. You're allowed to tell me now. He said, well, I don't know if I can. No, I won't say anything. I said, come on. I'm here for this reason. Anyway, finally he broke down and he told us exactly the same thing. He said, they've come here. They've designated who is good and going elsewhere and who is bad, and they're going to destroy the planet. And Joyce hit the roof. She said, how come you never told me this before? Because she'd been seeing him a lot of times, you know. And he said, I don't know, but now I'm impressed to tell you. And that's how it was. They confirmed exactly what we had been told back in Australia, where we didn't have these other confirmations, you see. The only time I spoke to the media about this, they decided that I was nuts and that I was a government agent for the Russians and I was trying to overthrow the Australian Parliament. I mean, you can't get any more ridiculous than that, you know?
Right.
So from then I realised it was pointless talking to the media and like that. Not only that, the medical board got in and kicked me out.
Yeah.
Just because I wrote about UFOs and end of the world sort of thing. And I gave quite lengthy explanations of things. They're crazy. They're insane. But as I said before, they're morons. They're robots. They can only do what they're told. They're machines. And over 50% of them have got that malignant programming, which makes them demonic. Another 42%, I've explained in the past, are just robots. They're not demonic. but half of them have been taken over by the demonic ones, which leaves about 20% that we have decided, and I'm one of the teams that decided this, that they are worthy to continue. They're benign. They're not malignant in any way. Do you know what I mean? They can live peacefully. They can help each other. They have a sense of responsibility, a sense of community. So we're giving them another chance. They're not going to exactly the same place as the divine beings, the one made of divine strata, but they are going to another place, and eventually they'll catch up. And 8% are ones that are left on Earth are of the divine essence. They're the ones, if you look at them and you've got the spiritual vision, you will see that they have a true soul. Now, in 1999, I remember I wrote you an essay that said that a billion of the divine ones had already been moved in preparation for the total destruction of the planet. And they are already in that place, a new dimension that we've built, as this one is being totally destroyed. So it all fits in quite well. And those who now have the spiritual vision, and I have it exactly perfectly, you can tell who's a divine being with a future, who's a little robot that's going to be assisted, and who are the robots that have failed and are going to be crushed like, you know, metal, and the demons who have to be burnt because they just demonic programming and that's all they are. We can see them. The other good thing about this is the true ones who are going to be salvaged and saved, when they hear this information I have to give out, they get excited and so happy for the end of all this rubbish, all this evil, all this exploitation. Do you know what I mean?
Whereas the other ones are... Joseph, this in many ways has become the planet evil. I hate to say it. That doesn't mean all the people on it are evil, but there are too many evil entities. And if you don't believe in possession, that's fine. But there is evil consciousness. It does seem to be able to walk into people and take them over. I mean, look who's running the planet. These are not good, kindly people who are running the planet. All right. They're dark and dirty and evil, and death and suffering to them is food of the gods. They love it.
That's right. And well, let's go back to something you mentioned at the introduction. America in 1776 was dedicated to Jehovah. He is a principal robotic being, a demonic robotic being. He exists no longer now. We've liquidated him. But of all the people, bar two, were dedicated to reptiles, and they dedicated America to this evil principle. Now, it's a programming. It's not something that can last forever. It, unfortunately, was made as part of an era that took off and went worse and worse and worse. We are able to completely destroy it, and we have in all the other places that have been destroyed. Now, what I meant to say is, with this message that I give, those that I continue get excited and happy that it's going to be the end of this filth, whereas the other ones become extremely frightened because now they have a realization of their true worth. See, up until now, if you look at these reptiles that control the world, they don't have any fear. They will kill millions, they will steal, they will rape, they're pedophiles, they'll do anything because they think they're gods. But this realization that is now coming to them that they're going to be destroyed is destroying them, and that's where we're at. And they are terrified to hear me speak, and they are terrified of this message. But they're going to get what they deserve. They are terrible, terrible programmed beings. They're just robots with this malignancy inside them, and we're going to destroy it completely. And, of course, we're back to a... to a normal plane as the rest of creation is. So that's where we're at, and that's what's called a celestial era in Gnostic prophecy, in Gnostic thought, that the whole thing went wrong. It was a mechanism that went terribly, terribly wrong. We ended up being trapped there. Now the energy has been totally cut off. They're starving to death, and they've got nowhere to go, and they will self-destruct. They're talking about, as you know, nothing but war,
right,
evil,
right.
Satan.
It is quite amazing, isn't it, Joseph, how quickly things have gone to hell in the last 15, 20 years. Just amazing. It's just, the transformation has been shocking.
And do you know who set all this up? Hitler. So he really won the war by actually going back. Now, I'm not going to tell you who Hitler was in spiritual terms. He was a great man. He's nothing like the bastards try to describe him as, particularly the Zionists. He helped so many people in the world, it's not funny. They did not forgive him the sin of showing people that they could live wealthily without the Zionist money.
You know, this is an interesting thing that you're saying. In the 1930s, the miracles that man brought to the absolutely destroyed Germany from World War One and the Treaty of Versailles were astonishing.
Right.
He was on the cover of Time magazine four times for the miracles that he had achieved financially, politically, but more than that, a pride in self and a pride in being. Germany was the first country to declare a war on cancer, to promote vegetarianism, to absolutely fight smoking tooth and nail. They were completely against cigarette smoking. They stressed health and wellness, things that America used to try to aspire to, but no longer. We sit on our butts. We stare at the screens. We carry the screens with us in our hands now. We're screen slaves when you think about it.
Well, that's killing them. That Wi-Fi is killing them. Let it be. It's frying their brains. But you're right. He was a great spiritual being. And, of course, all the filth they write about him is quite wrong. But he set it up so that eventually, as you know, he moved away. He went through the center of the earth and he contacted the other aliens and getting ready for this final phase. By doing that, he prepared the groundwork for the reptiles to self-destruct. And that's what's happening now. And this is what's going to happen. And he's part of the victory, of course. It's a lot more complicated than we think. But these evil beings lie so much that what they teach school, and what they teach populations is so wrong, is so abnormal that people don't know what the truth is. And now, of course, it's all coming to an end because we've cut off their energy. They can't get energy. Before that, they used to steal it from the true beings. Now we've got a green energy that they can't use. And people like myself, I must admit, have got what's called a destructive energy that is destroying them. Simply with our words and phonation, we are destroying them. And that's why they're terrified. They have nowhere to go. I have lost completely.
I've always felt, let me put this out. I've always felt that I hate to use the term people because I don't think they are. The individual entities that are running the show now are running it faster and faster into the ground. It's almost like an end times feeding frenzy of lust and destruction and greed and avarice and all the other negative things that we're not supposed to be embracing, but they do. It won't happen soon enough, but it will happen.
That's right.
Greed destroys itself eventually. Go ahead.
They're running out of energy, and therefore they're grasping at anything they can to get people and cause a lot of trauma and agony and anguish.
Right.
But it's not going to work anymore because the people they're killing are the same robots and demons as themselves who have got nothing to give them back. So they're trapped. They're gone. They're finished forever. And you can see that if you look at them, if you've got the spiritual vision of the end time, you will see the divine beings that they shine, really shine. They've got a beautiful aura about them. You see the little robots that are innocent, like children, like doves, and then you see these malignant demons,
right.
And they are horrible, Jeff. I see them when I go shopping. I can't stand them. They have changed so much from the people I knew. They are demons. They're machines that have to be crushed, and they will be crushed completely. Now, what remains for us is a beautiful, beautiful future, and I've enumerated. I can pick anyone out and call them up, and I know who they are. The last thing I want to mention is not to take any notice of these shills, and there are a lot of shills about, who give you a lot of information, some of which is accurate, but they don't tell you the truth.
They promise
you a foreverness, which is not true. They're promising these bastards a continuation that will never happen. And they are there to deceive people.
Oh, we have people deceivers have to, everywhere. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, that's right. People have to turn inwards and know themselves whether they are of true worth or they're rubbish. And, of course, the ones that are rubbish are never going to say so, but they get angry and they get very, very frightened. And I've seen them. You know, they're gone. They're finished. There's nothing they can do to us. And the whole thing is going to collapse very quickly. I kept getting the number 6 for the last few weeks, number 6. And to me, that means somewhere around 24, 25, it's going to be all over. I can see that happening.
Well,
if the heat continues...
It does appear the greed of the beasts that are running the show are lurching toward another major conflagration, a war. It does appear.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah. But they're gone. They're gone. They're finished. There is nothing they can do to us in any way, and they are finished. I'm telling you now, they are totally finished.
Good news to me.
There's no way they can resuscitate.
Joseph, thank you for being with us again, and for all the years you've steadfastly put the message out there. You've always stood on your ground.
Thank you. I'm so glad it's come together finally.
Yeah. It's apparent clearly. Joseph, we'll talk again. You be well. Take care.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Bye.
Okay. Good night, Joseph Chapallone. That's Chiappallone. Chiappallone, alone. Chapallone. You can look him up, and he's got books and all kinds of things. All right, we'll be right back with more.